I told Betty I was going to preach about her and her faults tonight, but I feel there's a more pressing issue. And I was directed in a different way. Next time. I'd like to start tonight. It'll probably be quite a bit of reading. But I want to start in 1 Nephi, in the second chapter. I'm going to read some of Lehi's vision and also part of Nephi's vision to go along with it. And I have some thoughts that have really been on my mind for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I'm going to start in the 62nd verse on page 21 in the Book of Mormon. "And I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of a river and led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron even to the tree by which I stood. And it also led by the head of the fountain unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward, that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commence in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose a great mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they who had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the mist of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes about, and beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and spacious building. And it stood as it were in the air, high above the earth, and it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine, and they were in an attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers toward those who had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after they had tasted the fruit, they were ashamed because of those who were scoffing at them, and they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. And now I, Nephi, do not speak all the words of my father, but to be short in writing, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press their way forward continually, holding fast to the rod of iron until they came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. And he also saw their multitudes feeling their way toward that great and spacious building, and it came to pass that many were drowned in the depths of the fountain. And many were lost from his view, wandering in strange roads, and great was the multitude that did enter into the strange building, into that strange building. And after they did enter into that building, they did point the finger of scorn at me and those who were partaking of the fruit also, but we heeded them not. These are the words of my father. For as many as heeded them had fallen away." I want you to take notice when I read the next part of the vision that Nephi will explain some of these things a little bit better. And then I have some points I'd like to make. I'm going to start on 26th verse in the third chapter, which is on page 26. I have a lot of reading here also. "I, Nephi, was desirous that I might see and hear and know of things by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek Him, as well in times of old as in times that He should manifest Himself unto the children of men. For He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the way is prepared from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto Him. For he that diligently seeketh shall find, and the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto them by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well as in this time as in times of old, as well as in times of old as in times to come. Wherefore, the course of the Lord is one eternal round." I want you to... Nephi, he was right here in this particular point. He wanted to know about this vision that his father had. I'm going to skip over part of these now, and I'm going to go to the 37th verse. "For it came to pass after I had desired to know the things that my father had seen, and believing that the Lord was able to make them known unto me. As I sat pondering in my heart, I was caught away in the Spirit of the Lord, yea, into an exceeding high mountain, which I never had before seen, and upon which I had never before set my foot. And the Spirit said unto me, Behold, what desirest thou? And I said, I desire to behold the things which my father saw. And the Spirit said unto me, Believest thou that thy father saw the tree of which he hath spoken? And I said, Yea, thou knowest that I believe all the words of my father. When I had spoken these words, the Spirit cried with a loud voice, saying, Hosanna to the Lord, the Most High God, for he is God over all the earth, yea, even above all. And blessed art thou, Nephi, because thou believest in the Son of the Most High God. Wherefore thou shalt behold the things which thou hast desired. And behold, this thing shall be given unto thee for a sign, that after thou hast beheld the tree which bore the fruit which thy father tasted, thou shalt also behold a man descending out of heaven, and him shall ye witness, and after ye have witnessed him, ye shall bear record that it is the Son of God. And it came to pass that the Spirit said unto me, Look, and I looked and beheld the tree. And it was like unto the tree which my father saw, and the beauty thereof was far beyond, yea, exceeding all beauty, and the whiteness thereof did exceed the whiteness of the driven snow. And it came to pass, after I had seen the tree, I said unto the Spirit, I behold, thou hast shown unto me the tree which is precious above all. And he said unto me, What desirest thou? And I said, To know the interpretation thereof. For I spake unto him as a man speaketh, for I beheld he was in the form of a man, yet nevertheless I knew that it was the Spirit of the Lord. And he spake unto me as a man speaketh with another. And it came to pass that he said unto me, Look. And I looked as if to look upon him, and saw him not, for he had gone from before my presence. And it came to pass that I looked and beheld the great city of Jerusalem, and also other cities. And I beheld the city of Nazareth, and in the city of Nazareth I beheld a virgin, and she was exceeding fair and white. It came to pass that I saw the heavens open, and an angel came down and stood before me. And he said unto me, Nephi, what beholdest thou? And I said unto him, A virgin, most beautiful and fair above all other virgins. And he said unto me, Knowest thou the condescension of God? And I said unto him, I know that he loveth his children. Nevertheless, I do not know the meaning of all things. And he said unto me, Behold, the virgin whom thou seest is the mother of the Son of God, after the manner of the flesh. And it came to pass that I beheld that she was carried away in the Spirit. And after she had been carried away in the Spirit, for a space of time, the angel spake unto me, saying, Look. And I looked and beheld the virgin again, bearing a child in her arms. And the angel said unto me, Behold the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying, Yea, it is the love of God which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore it is most desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, Yea, and the most joyous to the soul. And after he had said these words, he said unto me, Look, and I looked and beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men. And I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. And it came to pass that I beheld a rod of iron, which my father had seen, was the word of God which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. Here he was saying that the fountain of living waters was a representation of the love of God or the tree of life, and he was putting them in the same thing. It speaks of a fountain, so I don't want you to get this fountain of filthy water mixed up with this fountain of living waters that was also a representation of the tree of life. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. I want you to remember this. This is important. And I looked and beheld the Redeemer of the world, of whom my father had spoken. And I also beheld a prophet who should prepare the way before him. And the Lamb of God went forth and was baptized of him. And after he was baptized, I beheld the heavens open, and the Holy Ghost come down out of heaven and abode upon him in the form of a dove. And I beheld that he went forth ministering unto the people in power and great glory. And the multitudes were gathered together to hear him. And I beheld that they cast him out from among them. And I beheld 12 others following him. And it came to pass that they were carried away in the Spirit from before my face, and I saw them not.
course, we know that's 12 apostles. I want you to remember something. It says, and I beheld that they cast him out from among them. They were talking about the multitudes that cast Christ out. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me again, saying, look, and I looked and beheld the heavens opened again. And I saw angels descending upon the children of men, and they did minister unto them. And he spake unto me again, saying, look, and I looked and beheld the Lamb of God going forth among the children of men. And I beheld multitudes of people who were sick and who were afflicted with all manner of diseases and with devils and unclean spirits. And the angel spake and showed all these things unto me. And they were healed by the power of the Lamb of God, and the devils and the unclean spirits were cast out. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me again, saying, look, and I looked and beheld the Lamb of God, that he was taken by the people. Yea, the Son of God, the Son of the everlasting God, was judged of the world, and I saw him bear record. And I, Nephi, saw that he was lifted up upon a cross and slain for the sins of the world. And after he was slain, I saw the multitudes of the earth, that they were gathered together to fight against the apostles of the Lamb. For thus were the 12 called by the angel of the Lord. And the multitude of the earth was gathered together, and I beheld that they were in a large and spacious building, like unto the building which my father saw. And the angel of the Lord spake unto me again, saying, behold the world and the wisdom thereof. Yea, behold, the house of Israel hath gathered together to fight against the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And it came to pass that I saw and bear record that the great and spacious building was the pride of the world, and it fell, and the fall thereof was exceeding great. I want you to take notice. When he explains the rod of iron was the word of God, and the first one that I read, he saw that many, he saw a great multitude of people that had pressed forward, and they came to the path, the narrow path that led to the tree, and they had found their way to that point, and then in the midst of darkness came, and they all fell away. But then another group of people came, and they caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. I want this in your mind. There's a difference between walking in the path and walking with your hand in the rod of iron. We can find the way, but when you hold on to the gospel, that's how they made it. By keeping His commandments. I want to skip over a little bit. I want to go to the 120th verse. And I, Nephi, saw also many of the fourth generation who passed away in righteousness. And it came to pass that I saw the multitudes of the earth gathered together, and the angel said unto me, behold thy seed, and also the seed of thy brethren. And it came to pass that I looked, and beheld the people of my seed gathered together in multitudes against the seed of my brethren, which were gathered together to battle. And this, of course, is talking about the destroying of Nephi's people. And the angel spake unto me, saying, behold, the fountain of filthy water which thy father saw, yea, even the river of which he spake, are the depths of hell, and the mists of darkness are the temptations of the devil, which blindeth the eyes and hardeneth the hearts of the children of men, and leadeth them away into broad roads, that they may perish and are lost. And the large and spacious building which thy father saw is vain imaginations and the pride of the children of men. This is what I want to talk about. This large and spacious field, or building, or the world. I want you to take notice all the things they said this was. It was the pride. I want to go to James real quick. It was also the vain imaginations and the pride of the children of men. That's what they said. It was the world. I want you also to take notice of the scripture that broad is the way to destruction and narrow is the way unto life. Few there be that find it. I want to go to the first chapter of James. This has really been on my mind about the world. I want to go to the 26th and 27th verses. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but to see with his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. For a quick definition, or several, about what the world is and the way people are today, I want to go to 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter. And this talks about today so much. I'm going to start in the first verse. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's everywhere. That's the same as, that's the pride that he was talking about in the vision. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I want you to take notice about what he said in the vision, that they pointed the finger at those that had came and taken of the tree of life. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Well, that's a big one. We see that about us every day. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I want to go also to 3 Nephi. Talk a little bit more about the way people are today. I'm going to the 11th chapter. These things, the way people are today, seems to me from experiences at school and other things that, like they said, if you want to be your own person, a lot of times they point the finger and I'm going to go to the 14th verse. Now I'm going to go to the 18th verse. I only have one verse I want to read here. And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. You know, today it seems like everybody, you got to be proud or you're not happy. Being in school, seeing people there and just my experiences there with people, that if you did wickedness, you know, you have your friend over here that says, come on, you can take this, this don't hurt you, and you can do this, this isn't bad. And these kind of people is what everybody picks up. And if you have people that are far from loving, like an experience I had on the bus, you know, people are always ready to hurt other people and do things to other people, but if you bothered them, then they'd feel bad. But a certain experience I had, these kids were in back throwing things at the people that were in front, hitting them. You know, those are the kind of people that everybody else puts up. Well, they're so neat, and those are the kind of friends that I want to have. And these are the kind of things we need to turn away from, because like I said, what was the tree of life? It was the love of God. And that covers everything. Love covers the commandments because they were all built on that word. I want to go now to Helaman, the 5th chapter. And I want to explain something real quick. I'm going to read the 50th through the 52nd verses. It's on page 591. Behold, our iniquities are great. O Lord, canst thou turn away thine anger from us? This was Samuel prophesying, saying, this is what you people are going to be saying if you don't turn around your lives and get back in the path. And this shall be your language in those days. But behold, your days of probation are past. Ye have procrastinated the day of your salvation until it is everlastingly too late and your destruction is made sure. Yea, for ye have sought all the days of your life for that which ye could not obtain, and ye have sought for happiness in doing iniquity, which thing is contrary to the nature of that righteousness which is in our great and eternal head. These people had sought all the days of their life to find something that they'd never find, and that was happiness in doing iniquity. And just like in Alma, the 19th chapter, it says wickedness never was happiness. He was telling the son that. It never was, and it never will be. people always seek for happiness in the world and those things, but they will never find it because it's not there. I had some friends in 8th grade. I'd known them in 5th grade, and I changed schools. And I went back the next time in 7th grade, and a lot of them were on drugs. And they had a real problem with it. Because that was the going thing. And it's hard to turn away from the temptations of the world when you're in it every day. And this young man I know, he overdosed. And I heard some of his friends going, boy, he was that good old guy. He sure did it. I didn't think he would. Laughing about it, and they really thought it was funny. And I thought, well, isn't that strange? People find happiness in other people's misery. Yeah, he made it. I didn't think he'd do it, but you know, he's down at the hospital, maybe dying, but that good old guy. And that really made me think, is this what people call happiness in this kind of thing? I had to tell myself, no, I can't buy happiness. It's something that people always want to point the finger and want you to do something for them, and then next thing you know, they turn around and something bad happens, and they laugh and they're happy, and I can't find happiness in that, in sin. Because like it says, wickedness never was happiness. I want to go now to James, the 5th chapter. 4th chapter. And I want to talk about proud, like it says, or they say that the spacious building was the world and the pride of the world. And this is what James in the 1st chapter said, that we need to keep ourselves unspotted from this. I'm going to start in the 5th verse. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's important. That's opposite of the teachings of the world. Humbleness. I want to read something that always gets me, and that's in the 4th chapter of Mormon. Another thing that teaches us a little wisdom, and I'll point it out, I think it's in the last verse I'm going to read. I'm going to start in the 34th verse. This again is talking about the day. When you hear these things, I want you to think about all the things that are going on today that are just like this. And it shall come in a day when it shall be said that miracles are done away, and it shall come even as one should speak from the dead. And it shall come in a day when the blood of the saints shall cry unto the Lord because of the secret combinations and works of darkness. Yea, it shall come in a day when the power of God shall be denied, and the churches become defiled, and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts. Yea, even in a day when leaders of churches and teachers, in the pride of their hearts, even to the envying of them who belong to their churches. Yea, it shall come in a day when there shall be heard of fires and tempests and vapors of smoke in foreign lands. There shall also be heard of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in divers places. Yea, it shall come in a day when there shall be great pollutions upon the face of the earth. There shall be murders and robbing and lying and deceivings and whoredoms and all manner of abominations, when there shall be many who will say, do this or do that, and it mattereth not, for the Lord will uphold such the last day. And that's all about us today. I've heard it from all sorts of people. I've heard it at school. I heard some of the kids there. Got to talking to some of them about partying one day. One of them said, he says, party all you want, because he says it's all going to be over with quick enough. He said, there's nothing to worry about. He said, just, we're all going to die someday. So he said, let's just all party. That's go down the good way. Yeah, I've heard it time after time after time. But woe unto such, for they are in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. Yea, it shall come in a day when there shall be churches built up that shall say, come unto me, and for your money you shall be forgiven of your sins. Ye wicked and perverse and stiff-necked people, why have ye built up churches unto yourself to get gain? Why have ye transfigured the holy word of God that ye might bring condemnation upon your souls? Behold, look ye unto the revelations of God. For behold, the time cometh at that day when all these things must be fulfilled. Behold, the Lord hath shown unto me great marvelous things concerning that which must shortly come at that day when these things shall come forth among you. Behold, I speak unto you as if you were present, and yet ye are not. But behold, Jesus Christ hath shown you unto me, and I know your doings, and I know that you do walk in the pride of your hearts. And I believe I have to because of the things that he wrote. That he saw this day and he saw the people because that's the way they are today. And there are none save a few only who do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts unto the wearing of very fine apparel, unto envying and strifes and malice and persecutions and all manner of iniquity. And your churches, yea, even every one, have become polluted because of the pride of your hearts. For ye do love money and your substance, and your fine apparel, and the adorning of your churches, more than ye love the poor, and the needy, and the sick, and the afflicted. O ye pollutions, ye hypocrites, ye teachers, who sell yourselves for that which will canker, why have ye polluted the holy church of God? He's talking about these churches and these people that, like he said before, say, for your money I'll forgive you your sins. And why are ye ashamed to take upon you the name of Christ? In this next verse, this is the one I want to point out. Why do you not think that greater is the value of an endless happiness than that misery which never dies because of the praise of the world? I want everybody to think about that. That's the most important thing. Why do you not think that greater is the value of an endless happiness than that misery which never dies because of the praise of the world? I want you to remember where I was reading in the first. That great and spacious building fell, and the fall thereof was great. Just like when Christ was talking, and he was talking about where we build our house. If we build it upon the rock and upon the gospel, it will stand. But if we build it in the world and on the sand, it's going to fall. And great would be the fall. I want to go to Mark, the 8th chapter. Now I just want to say the exact same thing that he just said there. I know you all have heard this. verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall also the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And what was it that it pointed out in Nephi that people were? They were ashamed because of the world pointing their finger at them. But you know, I don't want to leave everybody on a negative note. That the world does this, there's got to be a way to overcome it. We've all stuck our foot in the world sometime or another, but as I've heard several say, we can't ride the fence anymore. We can't put one foot in God and one foot in the world because it doesn't work. It doesn't go hand in hand. Just like you can't mix a sweet fountain with a bitter fountain of water. You can't get both out of the same well. So now I want to go into some promises, maybe something that gives us hope. I want to start, or some counsel. I want to start in Colossians, in the 3rd chapter. I'm going to read one short verse. I'm going to read the 2nd verse. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Well, that's a lot different than I am sometimes today. It's too easy to set your affections on things down here because it's a reality being down here, and that sometimes we don't think about things above like we should, because we're here right now, and hey, that'll come later, and right now is not the time to worry about it. But of course, we know that now's the time where it's most important to worry about that. I also want to go to 1 Peter. Second chapter, in the 11th and 12th verses. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And of course, we all know that scriptures teach that, and James even talks about our physical and fleshly lusts, that we all have them, we know it. But when lust is conceived, then it brings forth sin. Having your conversation, which is your example, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of your visitation. Just like Christ said in Matthew, let your light so shine. We've got to be an example to the world. And just like Nephi said, that was another thing I wanted to point out. He noticed that his dad had said, or Lehi in his vision, that at the pointing of the finger of the world, whoever, he noticed that those who had heeded that pointing finger, they'd fallen away. Those that had been ashamed, those are the ones that had fallen away. So look, that's the thing we can't heed. I want to read in the 15th chapter of John. And this was Christ talking. He was talking about the world. And he told us some things that are true, and just like Nephi brought out in his vision, they are true. I'm going to start in the 18th verse. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. They will keep yours also. I want you to think about that. Like I said, we know that scriptures talk about being persecuted, the righteous being persecuted, and it's true in some ways. A lot of people said things to me at school when I stood one way or another. I don't know what I define as persecution. No one ever came right out and hit me, but they said things that bothered me a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't have. I should have done probably like the apostles did when they were beaten and just rejoiced. But I want you all to take notice that even Christ said, because I was against the world, and because I wasn't in the world, they hated me, so they're going to hate you. And the hatred he was talking about, a lot of times we don't think that people hate us, or to the degree. But if we look back at Christ, and I'm sure in the latter days, days that are ahead, things are going to be a little different than they are right now. And it will be a literal hate, I think, in the days coming. I want to read Luke in Luke, the 21st chapter. And I want to read another thing that Christ said is a warning. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. I want to make a point there.
we all know that maybe I read it too much, everybody's heard it so many times, but that the whole duty of man is to keep the commandments of God. We've also heard that Christ, when He comes, He's coming quick. And you know, time goes by us so fast, just like this. You know, one week I'm sitting here, and the next week I'm here, and it just goes on and on and on. In school, it went by so fast, it just flew by. And like the scriptures say, now's the time. Now's the time in our life when we got to change. After we're gone, it's all over with. We've made our decision. If we've lived in filthiness, that's what we're going to get. If we've lived in a way that we should have, that's our reward. But we're the ones that are going to choose. And being human and falling, that's one thing that we all have done. But we also have a promise of forgiveness. For all that ask, we have the promise. And so, to refresh your memory, in the 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, there's also another promise, that there's no temptation we can't overcome. That God will help us, no matter how hard it is. There won't be one hard, too hard for us to overcome, because He won't allow it. And that's a promise. I want to read the 17th chapter of John. The reason I want to read this is for another reason. This is a prayer of Christ to his Father. The reason I want to read this is to show you that even Christ prayed for those of His servants and those people that were going to be in the world. And he prayed for something that I'm sure the Father answered. It gives me hope. And these words spake Jesus as He lifted up His eyes to heaven, saying, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also glorify Thee. And this was talking just before He was crucified. Because Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth, I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept My word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. I want you to take notice that He gave them, His Father had given them out of the world. So we find even Christ saw the necessity that He was different from the world, and those men that He had chosen were out of the world. They were in the world, but they weren't of the world. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. And now I no more am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy word. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And that was talking about Judas. And now I come to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have My joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them My word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray that Thou shouldest not take them out of the world, that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Even He prayed that we wouldn't be taken out of the world, but that we'd be kept from evil. And I have to believe that there's nothing we can't overcome. I have to believe that. I want to go over to the 33rd verse in the 6th chapter, or the 17th, the 16th chapter of John. And I just want to read a little bit of that last verse right there. These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but of,
But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And of course, he overcame the world and he gave a promise that as much as we depend on him and keep... It's like Brother Housenick read today. He read part of my scriptures, so I didn't read them. But if we... He read the scripture about the yoke in the 11th chapter of Matthew. There was... That if we had a burden, if there was anything, that Christ was there, and his burden was... I want to read that. I had a point, and I need to... It's 11th chapter of Matthew. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He says, and learn of me. And to me that means study. And you know, if we haven't studied, then a lot of these promises we've never known, because we've never known they existed if we haven't studied. So I want to stress the importance of everybody studying, along with the importance that we've been given the commandments that we should stay away from the world. It's hard because we live in it. And there's no way we're going to ever keep fully away from the world unless we put all our efforts fully in something else, which has to be the gospel. But I feel bad sometimes because we're all tempted. And the world grabs hold of us in some small way. Maybe I wanted to make a point too that, you know, the scriptures say something about only... What am I trying to say? The scriptures say something about having temperance in all things. And sometimes I feel like maybe we don't have enough temperance in the things we do in the world. You know, I believe that we can have too much seriousness in the gospel. Also, I think we can stress too much that you don't let anybody do anything, you don't let anybody have any recreation, that it's all serious. But the way I feel sometimes is that we don't have enough seriousness in the gospel, and then we do have more of our and not enough temperance in the things of the world. Putting them aside, because 2 days, one whole day, and part of Wednesday nights isn't very much to give compared to a week. So I think we need to cross ourselves and like it said, not be proud, be humble, because God giveth grace to the humble. And I feel if we do this, that's when we separate ourselves from the world. Another way is by holding on the rod of iron, which is the Word of God, which is by studying. If we don't know it, how can we hold to it? And I've really been thoughtful about these things lately. Maybe we need to, and myself, I'm pointing to myself too, not everybody else. There's a lot of things maybe we need to have temperance in and put a little bit more effort in our studies and things we should be doing. And that these things in the world that keep pointing to us and saying, well, do this and do that and you'll be great and go with the crowd, that's the way to go. Now, there was a time that I thought it was real good for a while. But you know, I always found that I was never happy. And I've never found any sense if you're not happy in doing something you're not happy in. And I say I wasn't happy, and that's out of all seriousness. I've tried a lot of things that I shouldn't have. Sorry about them now, but there's nothing I can do except turn around and change and go the other way. But I found that the more that I tangled myself in the world, the more unhappy I was. And like Alma said, I never did find. Out of all my trying, I tried and tried, like Samuel said, that those people were going to try something that they could never find, and that was happiness and doing iniquity. And I never could. And so, I hope we don't all have to experiment that for ourselves. But I hope that we draw away from those things and draw away from being proud and going with the crowd, because I don't know. I feel that if you're your own person and your own example, different from people the way they are today, because there's no happiness today that I can see. I see sadness everywhere. People divorcing and the problem is, even within ourselves, sometimes we have so many problems. With the temptations, we have problems. We get angry at one another and forget the anger and the hatred or the hurt that we had received, and instead of forgiving and forgetting, we don't. And that's the way the world is now. Take care of yourself. I just got to take care of me and not anybody else. I don't have to care about anybody else, and I'm taken care of. Well, then I can think about other people and their needs. And we know that's opposite of the gospel. So I hope and I encourage us that we maybe draw ourselves away from the world a little bit more. Or a lot more in some cases. Some things that if we dip our feet in, that we'll be drawn away and we won't ever find our way back, because time slips by just like that. And one of these days we're going to be looking back and saying, I could have done something different and I didn't. And now I've got an answer for it. So I hope we all take heed and learn that while we're in this life, we gotta do better than we've done. And those things that are behind us, that we leave them behind us and don't bring them out again in our future. But as long as we can live, like every day, we've got to choose who we're going to serve. Just like Joshua said, it's an everyday thing. It doesn't stop tomorrow. It doesn't stop with today. Tomorrow you're going to choose. When you're faced with temptation, you're going to choose which way you're going to go. It's up to you. There's a promise, though. There's nothing we can't overcome. I don't like to cry, but I have to ask the question. Is the never-ending unhappiness worth the praise of the world? I have to say no. I don't think anybody here believes it. Just for a short time, maybe 100 years, that's a long time to some people, but it goes by like that. How many years have gone by since Christ and they're already here? We read of people that lived then and now they're dead. One of these days, we're going to be gone. We don't know when, we don't know the time. God has it all in His hands. But we got to pick today, every day, who we're going to serve. We've got to pick today and every day if we're going to go with the world. And if we are, well, then we've made our decision. Hopefully we won't make that decision. Because I look forward to a day when there's nothing but happiness. And for the ones that pick that, that's a never-ending thing. It's going to go on forever. We can't even imagine it. It's an eternity. It's not tomorrow. It doesn't end the next day. But it's forever. And even though we have that thing today, we got to think of the next. We got to think of the forever and not right now. So I just hope that we all learn to have temperance and things, and learn to keep ourselves in the world and hold to the rod of iron. Thank you.